That sends chills up and down my spine to think about what it's going to sound like in heaven, if it can sound this good here. Thank you for entering in and entering into that time of praise and worship, because we have something to be thankful for. And God is so good. He is so worthy of our praise. There's just nothing else. A lot of other things in this world that like to draw our attention away from the holiness of God and His goodness, but we are reminded again this morning that He has promised and He is going to take us home. Hallelujah. It is a challenge this morning to be able to open the Word and be able to share what God has written in this book, and it's my heart's desire again this morning that I will share it accurately, and I'm going to read the scripture and then we'll have prayer. It's Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3, and you can turn if you wish to. If not, just follow along. I'll be sharing from these three verses. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. And I titled the message this morning, He Restores My Soul. So let's ask the Lord to anoint our time here. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity to open Your Word, to look at the book that was written, and Lord, to glean from it and to have You speak to us through Your Spirit, Lord. As I share, I pray that Your Spirit would move and that each heart would be connected to Your heart, and that You alone would receive the honor and the glory this morning, because You alone are worthy. Father, we thank You today that we have the privilege to fellowship together around Your Word. And so we give You the freedom to protect the Word, that the Word that is spoken would reach the ear of the hearer undefiled. In Jesus' name, amen. He restores my soul. Sometimes we have all been to the place where once in a while it feels like our souls need to be restored. Have you ever been there where you come to a place where it just feels like there is a need for my soul to be restored? You don't know what happened. You don't know what all went on. Or maybe there was big things that happened that caused you to come to a place where your soul, as David said, why are you cast down within me? Are you with me? You have been there. You've experienced it. Where it feels like there's no hope. It feels like there is nothing to go on anymore. And the promise is made here in this scripture. He restores my soul. He restores it. So what does it mean to restore something? And I thought about an old cupboard my mother had that was painted over and stuff like that, and she sent it away somewhere to be restored. So it was refinished. It came back looking as it was before it was scratched and dented and messed up and all that stuff. It was restored back to its more original state. You were born again. You accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you felt the joy of the Lord in your spirit. You felt your soul revived. You felt it refreshed. And now a couple of years or years down the road, all of a sudden you're wondering, what happened? Why does it feel like my soul needs to be restored again? And be restored back to its original state. And here's the thing. Our souls cannot be restored if we have not surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It says there in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. And I asked the question that I asked a couple weeks ago again, is the Lord your shepherd? Is He really your shepherd? What is a shepherd? A shepherd is someone who takes care of sheep. So is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord taking care of you? Do you believe in your heart that he is the one who makes you to lie down in green pastures? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the one that will lead you beside still waters? Do you believe that the Lord is your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Not your parents, not your church, not your favorite blogger. Is he your shepherd? Have you fully surrendered to him? Where are you being fed? Where are you being fed? Where is it you go to when you're sick? Where is it where you go to when you're spiritually hungry or you're spiritually sick? Where do you go to? Who is your shepherd? Because our souls cannot be restored if we're wandering around in someone else's pasture. I thought about the farm that I grew up on. There was a pasture where we had some horses in, occasionally some steers, but not very often. But there was a creek that ran through our pasture, and the creek divided our pasture from the neighbor's pasture. And so the creek was always hard to keep a fence because it was right. The creek made a left-hand turn, went across the pasture, and made a right-hand turn. And it was always hard to keep a fence there because it would get washed away. And so the neighbor's cows decided it was better on our side than on the side that they were supposed to be on, where the farmer had groomed the meadow and had made sure there's nothing on that side that the cows could get into that would be harmful for them. But they chose to come over on our side where we didn't care what they ate. They weren't our cows. Didn't matter. The horses, they had enough to eat. They could wander around there if they wanted to. But we didn't care because they weren't our cows. We didn't care what they ate. They could eat poison. They could eat briars. Or they could whatever they wanted to eat. And I ask you this morning, is he your good shepherd? Is he the one? Has he prepared a pasture for you that is worth staying in? And the answer is yes, hallelujah. We don't need to go to other pastors because the Lord is our shepherd. Donald Trump is not our shepherd. He will not make you lie down in green pastures. He will not lead you beside still waters. He will not restore your soul. He will not lead you in the path of righteousness. It is only the Lord, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. That's his heart for you and I. And I want to focus this morning on the Lord being our Good Shepherd is also the one who wants to restore our soul. When the Lord is my shepherd, then I'm fully surrendered to him. He will make me to lie down in green pastures. He will lead me beside still waters. He will restore my soul and lead me in the path of righteousness. So with this moving realization, we need to understand this, that we were bought with a price. We were bought with a price. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We really are not our own. God is well within his rights to make a claim to us, to say that we are his and that he is a jealous God. He is a shepherd who wants to take care of us because we are his, not someone else's, not the enemy. We are his. And that should sober us when we understand that we were bought with a price. Jesus gave his life. He died on the cross. He shed his blood that you and I could be his. That you and I could be his. Not someone else's. The enemy has no claim on you. The enemy does not have a mark on you. We bear. There comes the question then that in bearing his mark, are we actually his? And so sheep, when they were run together and stuff, they put a mark on them. They either notched their ears or something that they knew that the mark of the owner of the sheep, they knew whose sheep it was. And so we, as children of God, we bear the mark of Jesus Christ on us. In Galatians 6:17, it says this, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you truly his if you have not completely surrendered to him? If we do not bear the marks. Jesus made this clear in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This means I give up my rights and fleshly desires to be led and guided by the Good Shepherd. I give up my rights, my fleshly desires to be followed, to follow the Good Shepherd. And he will lead me into a productive and fulfilling life." No other way. If you're looking for any other source this morning, there is no other way. Yeah, there is no other way. It's tragic that many people that claim the Lord is my shepherd have never surrendered to the leading and the direction of God in their lives. It simply becomes words. Somehow they believe that by saying he's my shepherd, that it's going to give them the benefits of being a sheep of the shepherd just by saying it. Never yielding to, never surrendering to, never giving up myself, always standing up for what I want, standing up for what my desires are, instead of looking for what the heart and mind of God is for me and following him. As long as I say I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of God, I do whatever I want to do. I don't follow him. I don't listen to him, but I'm a Christian. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Do you mind going over to my study and in my briefcase get that book that I was going to use? "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." He's saying, I never knew you as my own. I never knew you as my own. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity who practice lawlessness. Why? Because I never knew you. I never knew you as my own. You weren't a follower of me. Only in words, not in deeds, not in actions. It is a serious and sobering thought that should make us search our own hearts and motives and personal relationship with him. Do I really belong to him? Do I really recognize his right to me? Do I respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership? Do I find freedom and complete fulfillment in this arrangement of relationship? Do I know rest and repose besides a definite sense of exciting adventure in belonging to him? Do I know rest, but also an exciting adventure in belonging to him? Where is he going to take me? What is he going to do with me? Where is he going to use me? If so, then I can proudly proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm thrilled to belong. Thank you very much. You're beautiful. If so, then I can proudly proclaim the Lord is my shepherd, and I am thrilled to belong to him, and I shall flourish and thrive no matter what life brings my way. When I know that he is my shepherd. So we go on to verse 3, and it starts out, he restores my soul. So if I am a child of God, I've been born again, I've been washed in the blood, standing purely before God, and I am righteous, and I'm living and walking with him, then why does this scripture show up? Why does David write this, that he restores my soul? Why is there even a need? Isn't it kind of self-explanatory that if I'm a child of God, if I'm a sheep of God, and I'm walking with him, then I should never have to have my soul restored, right? Wrong. There comes times, and remember, this is David writing this, who was a man after God's own heart. This is not a heathen. He's saying, this is David writing that who is a man after God's own heart, that he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Maybe you're here this morning and your soul needs to be restored. David had tasted the defeat in his life, felt the frustration of having fallen under temptation. David was acquainted with bitterness of feeling hopeless and without strength in himself. Psalms 42:11, he says this, which I quoted earlier, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him and help my countenance and my God." And then I read this here, a shepherd look at Psalms 23, and he talks about this here condition of a sheep that when it becomes cast or cast down. And I'm just going to read some of this to you. Now there's an exact parallel to this caring for sheep. Only those intimately acquainted with sheep and their habits understand the significance of a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up by itself again. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Laying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help, but generally it lies there lashing about in frightened frustration. This is called a cast sheep to shepherds. If the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. This is but another reason why it is so essential for a careful sheepman to look over his flock every day, counting them to see that they are all able to be up and on their feet. If one or two are missing, often the first thought to flash in mind is, one of my sheep is cast somewhere. I must go and search and set it on its feet again. That's our shepherd. That's our God. If you're here this morning and you find yourself in that condition, on your back, unable to get up, with your feet flailing in the air, there is a good shepherd that is looking out for you, that is checking where you're at. The only problem with this is that a shepherd knows that he has to keep a sharp eye out for cast sheep, but also for predators. Buzzards and vultures, dogs, coyotes, and cougars all know that a cast sheep is easy prey and death is not far off. Satan knows when we are at our most vulnerable position. Satan knows when we are at our lowest and have no hope. Satan knows when we are on our back, caught up in some sin. Satan knows, and he is ready to attack. and devour. The way this happens is this: a heavy, fat, or long fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in a small little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out and relax, and suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. So the sheep will search out a soft, hollow spot where they get comfortable in. They lay down, and all of a sudden they find themselves flipped on their back. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen, whatever that is. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to extremities of the body, especially to the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die within a few hours. If it's cool and cloudy and rainy, it may survive in that position for several days. So that's how the sheep becomes cast. And he says in here how he, as soon as he would find that a sheep is missing, he would go looking for it. And if he found that it was cast, is the first thing you want to do is pick it up. But you have to carefully roll it onto its side, and then the gases will escape, and therefore it is able then to be lifted up onto its feet. So there was quite an activity that went into getting this sheep back on its feet. It was rolled over on its side, keep it there for a little bit, and then it had to help the sheep get up on its feet and hold it there. And he said sometimes he had to rub its legs and stuff to get circulation back into them, but he helped the sheep up, and he held it there while it was in a condition that it could not stand on its own 2 feet, 4 feet. God helps us sometimes. Sometimes when he wants to restore your soul, he is standing there, holding you up when you can't stand, holding you up when there's no hope, holding you up when there's no one else to turn to. When the sheep started to walk again, and she'd often just stumbled and staggered and collapsed in the heap once more, and he would help her back up. And he says he found that what really helped with these sheep was that he would talk to them gently. "You fool. You know, why did you do this to yourself? I'm so glad I found you before you died. But you need to stop." He talked gently to them. God is talking gently to you this morning. By and by, the sheep was able to stand, was able to run and dash off with the rest of the crowd. Similarly, in Christian life, there is an exciting and compelling parallel here. Many people have the idea that when a child of God falls, when he is frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious with him. This simply is not so. Hallelujah. God knows us. He's not beating up on you when you fail. He's not beating up on you when you have no hope. And that same grace needs to be extended from us to others if we are Christ-like. The tenderness and the love and the patience that Jesus demonstrated when he restored Peter's soul after Peter had denied him, after Peter had, at the deepest, darkest hour of Jesus' grief, Peter denied him. But afterwards, Jesus came along to Peter and he gently restored his soul. "Do you love me?" Peter says, you know I do. Feed my sheep. And he said it three times to him. He wasn't trying to put him under some kind of ridiculous pressure. He was restoring his soul. He was helping Peter to see that he was okay. That he was okay. He was restoring his soul. As Christians, we can become cast when we always choose the easy way. I thought about Charlie Kirk as he stood up for truth. And I wondered how many of us are willing to stand up for truth. Are you willing to stand up for truth in your family, in your school, your church, your workplace, and stand for truth? We declare boldly, yes, I'm willing to die for truth. I'm willing to take a bullet for it. I'm willing to die for truth. But the truth of the matter is, so many times we're not even willing to live the truth, let alone die for the truth. Are you with me? How is it with you? Have you flipped on your back and become indoctrinated by false teachers? Are you flipped on your back? Your feet are flailing in the air if you have been indoctrinated by false teachers. And you need the shepherd, the good shepherd, to come alongside, roll you over so those gases can escape and you can get back up on your feet again. I watched the memorial of for Charlie Kirk, and there was government officials that were speaking at this memorial. And Carrie Lake, the senior advisor of U.S. Agency for Global Media, spoke, and she begged mothers, please don't send your children to these colleges. They are indoctrination camps. Please do not send your children to these colleges. This is a government official begging mothers to not send their children to these indoctrination camps. I'm not putting a blanket. I don't know. I'm quoting what she said, so I'm not going to add words to it. Are we being indoctrinated? Have we flipped on our backs? And that goes for, it may not even politically, but is there some ways that we have accepted an indoctrination of Christianity that is not real, does not reflect the heart of God? Our souls need to be restored. One of the other things that caused the sheep to become cast was that they had too much wool. And their wool would get caked with mud and manure and briars and stuff. And it weighted them down to the place where they would lay down and they would fall over and they couldn't get up again. So the first thing that they did was they quickly sheared the sheep to get the weight off of them so that they could get up and walk again. And maybe you're here this morning and this world's briars and manure and mud has caked into your wool and is pulling you down and you can't walk because of it. And it's because of that we're unwilling and just not bold enough to stand up for truth anymore. Because our wool is caked with mud. When I was in my 20s, I worked for a fellow that had some sheep, and we used to shear the sheep. And I didn't shear the sheep, but I helped to catch them and get them there and hold them, get them in place and everything. But the guy that sheared the sheep, when he would get the sheep, he would flip it on its backside. So it's sitting there with its feet like this. It looked ridiculous. But when they were like that, they stopped kicking, they stopped struggling. But up until that point, they were making such a fuss and a noise that if you would have heard it from a distance, you'd have thought we were killing them. And sometimes this morning, when God takes the shear to us, that's a little bit what it sounds like to us. Or that's what it might sound a little bit like to God. We whine and we fuss and we carry on something wonderful, when all he's doing is trying to restore our soul. And for our souls to be restored, we need to go through a fleecing sometimes. But be it known, that guy, my coworker that sheared the sheep, was good. He never nicked the sheep. I saw guys shear sheep that they'd had to put stuff on after they're done because they were nicked, they were bleeding. But he was good. He sheared them, he had no nicks. And I trust you, trust me this morning, when God does the fleecing, he's not going to nick you. He's going to do it. And when you walk away from that fleecing, you will feel free. You will feel free. Stop struggling. He wants to restore your soul. Some of them became cast because they were too fat. They were indulging in the things of this world. They indulged in all the food and the good food, and they looked good and healthy, robust. But it was enough sometimes that when they got on their side, again, they would flip over and they become cast. And I wonder how much sometimes we as Christians get in that same position of we don't need God because we have so much. We have so much, we don't need God. And after a while, we find ourselves cast and our souls need to be restored. Why do we kick and thrash around and whine when God takes us through difficult times of fleecing? Because essentially, he's restoring our soul. He's gentle. He will not harm us. Nevertheless, he disciplines those he loves. At the end of verse 3, it says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When he has restored our souls, he has promised that he will lead us in the path of righteousness for what? For his sake. He will lead us in the path of righteousness for his sake. That's a promise. For his name's sake. It's not about you and me. He leads, he restores our soul, and he leads us in the path of righteousness. If I will just acknowledge that he is my shepherd and that he will restore my soul, he will also lead me in the path of righteousness for his sake so that he will look good. The sheep, a good flock, a good-looking flock, was a reflection of the shepherd. Are we a good-looking flock this morning? We should be. Because of the lordship of Jesus Christ, not who we are, not what we are, but by the lordship of Jesus Christ, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, by the presence of God, we can be pure, holy, and righteous, and he will lead us in the path of righteousness. There are times in life that our souls need to be restored. You may be here today and you find yourself in need of a soul lift. Maybe you feel like David, my soul, why are you cast down? Maybe you find yourself on your back, unable to get up and on your feet. I'm here to tell you the good shepherd is ready to restore your soul and to set you back on your feet. When I look at the story of Jesus in the scripture, I see the good shepherd, the tender shepherd, the one who was ready to restore, the one who spoke to Peter gently, the same one who, when the woman was taken in adultery, was brought to him. He said, after no one would throw stones at her, he didn't either. He said, go and sin no more. Maybe you're here without hope this morning. The cares of this world have weighed you down and you can't get up. Let me read one more time. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's our God. That's our God. That's our shepherd, the one who cares for us. Let's stand together for a prayer. If you're here this morning, you need hope restored. If you're here this morning, you find yourself caught in some sin that has you on your back. If you're here this morning, you simply need the shepherd's touch. The altar is open. You can come, or you can talk to God where you're at. But today, the good shepherd, is he your shepherd? Is he my shepherd? Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity of hearing your word. I pray that the word that you have written, Lord, this morning would be true and accurate in its entirety. Lord, that it would be protected in our hearts and that you would receive the honor and the glory. And Lord, we thank you for being that good shepherd. Thank you, Father, for the example of Scripture that you have given us, Lord, that we can know that you are a good God who cares about us, who does not beat us up when we fail, but is right there ready and wanting to help us back on our feet. Lord, if there is someone here this morning that is in need of hope or in need of being restored or set back on their feet, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would minister to them in a special way. God, I pray that when we walk away from this place today, that we would have a renewed hope that there is nothing in life, no matter what the trials are, no matter what comes, Lord, that we can come to you and we can know that you are our shepherd. Father, I thank you for the many times that you have protected us from the enemy, from the wolves, from the dogs and those that would tear us apart when we're down. Father, I thank you that you're a God that we can count on, that will be there, that is not preoccupied with other things. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come into the Holy of Holies this morning and we can speak with you because you are a loving, caring God who gave your Son Jesus to die on the cross, and by that shed blood, we are able to be called your children and your sheep. So, Father, as we go from this place, may we show the world that we are your sheep. Father, lead us. Help us to be those people that do more than just go about our own business, but would reflect you in everything that we do because we bear your mark. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in a closing song.